From our Old Testament lesson, David prayed to the Lord, "Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a delight to see so many of you here today to celebrate our anniversary of dedication. But why do we celebrate the anniversary of the dedication of a church? Because in the words of Bishop Michael Curry, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. In my weekly message that went out with our newsletter yesterday, I talked about the dedication of this beautiful building. It was built through the free will offerings of parishioners and those who believed in St. Thomas Church and its place on 5th Avenue and 53rd Street now over 100 years ago. Around 3,000 years ago, King David made provision for the first temple, the first permanent house of the Lord, by asking all the leaders of the ancestral houses to give generously and to ask their tribes to contribute according to their own wealth. In biblical terms, it became the mother of all capital campaigns. And what a success it was! Then the leaders of ancestral houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the thousands and of the hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. And listen to this, for with single mind they had offered freely to the Lord. King David also rejoiced greatly. Now, notice how in response David prays to the Lord. He doesn't say, "Oh Lord, what a successful portfolio manager I have become." He says, "Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." In other words, he acknowledges the centrality of God in the lives of his people, of the community, and that all that offering, it belonged to God in the first place. His prayer is filled with humility, of recognizing, to use his own words, the transient nature of his own people. "All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you." Our mission statement will be the basis for our annual appeal, not just for next year in 2026, but for the coming 3 years. And I want these 3 years, my friends, to be 3 years where we explore the three verbs used in that mission statement: worship, love, serve. Now, it may be tempting to think that at the heart of our mission statement is the Anglican tradition and our unique choral heritage. They are, my friends, what gives St. Thomas its particular character or charism, what sets apart from many other places of worship, but they are not at the heart of our mission statement. The heart of our mission statement is the name of a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the heart of our mission statement, and therefore everything that we do, including our annual appeal, has to be centered on Jesus. Everything that we do flows from our commitment to Jesus Christ and our baptismal covenant in which we commit ourselves to being a beloved community. Now, the irony is not lost on me that the lectionary has given me as the gospel reading the driving out and the overturning of the money changers. And here's the rector asking for your money. Why did Jesus drive out those selling animals in the temple for sacrifice and overturn the tables of the money changers? I mean, their role, after all, was to help the people do their duty, wasn't it? I think Jesus drove them out and overturned the tables because these same people had forgotten their vocation and the whole purpose of their role in the temple, that it was God's house and the sacrifices and offerings were for his benefit, actually, not theirs. It was not a marketplace where people could satisfy their own selfish ends, their own desires, and also get rich at the same time. So in a similar way, Jesus is asking you and me why we come here and what we are doing here. If we only place our trust in this building, beautiful as it is, or in our Anglican tradition, uplifting as it is, or in our choir of men and boys and the choir school, unique though they are, then I'm afraid we may fall short of living out our mission here on Fifth Avenue and 53rd Street. All those things I've just named are important, but they are a means to an end. They are not ends in themselves. They help us to worship, love, and serve Jesus. King David's response to the enormity of the success of his capital campaign to build the first temple was humility and a recognition of the sovereignty of God. He prayed, "I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you." Giving money can be joyful. In my weekly message to you all yesterday, I mentioned Bishop Grier's sermon at this church's consecration on April the 25th, 1916. He took for his text James chapter 1, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." The Christian church, the bishop told the congregation, face the challenge of taking its old historic creed and making it alive in every aspect of life. Not merely the personal, but the social, the national, and wait for it, the worldwide. Only in this way, he said, would the church regain its own distinctive work and mission, one that will, he said, differentiate it at once and by a leap from every other social organization on the face of the earth. The church, Bishop Grier maintained, was intended to be, in his words, an incarnation in the world, the incarnation of God, and so continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ. Listen to those words again. The church is intended to be an incarnation in the world, the incarnation of God, and so continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ. Now you see why our mission statement is important, because it places Jesus at the center of it, the incarnate Jesus Christ. Our mission is to do exactly what Bishop Greer encouraged our forebears to do, to continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ, not in abstract theory, not in precious traditionalism dressed up in cloth of gold, but the very person of Jesus Christ, who gave us a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. Our worship of God will help us to build a beloved community where love is at the center, and that love of Christ will help us serve one another and those around us. And to those of you online, you too are part of Bishop Greer's prophecy of almost 110 years ago, when he said, not knowing what he was going to say, not merely the personal, but the social, the national, and the worldwide. I need you to respond to our annual appeal, to pledge a regular amount, so that our mission and ministry can flourish and we can draw more people into the orbit of Christ's love, as you have been drawn into that orbit, because you tell me so. So go to the website, make a pledge, or use the QR code, which is now appearing, hopefully, on your screen at home, and take your iPhone, your camera, and I can check how many of you have done it. The QR code will remain there until after the offertory. And you know, sometimes your circumstances change, don't they? And you can't give like you used to give. That's okay. We're a community of love. And some of us will give more. And some of you will have something to give thanks for this year. You can make a one-off thank offering to God, just as they did 3,000 years ago, when David appealed to build the temple. So, my friends, as we begin to explore what it means to be a worshiping, loving, and serving community centered on Jesus Christ, let us listen again to the words of the epistle. These are really precious words. Take them home with you. Get your Bibles out this week and ponder on them. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are the citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." Isn't that beautiful? In him, the whole structure is joined together. And you, my friends, become a dwelling place for God. Or as Bishop Curry said, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.